evening the past few years. My center's yeshiva, Deris HaTorah, they learned the night of the Super Bowl. I heard about it. Walking here tonight, quiet streets, occasionally a little roar here and there from one of the dearest around here, but coming by and hearing the Kol Torah coming out of this Beis Medrash and looking through the door and seeing tens, hundreds, boys sitting and learning, Ein Yedoy Meshmiel Ariya. Wow! Everything I heard doesn't compare to when you actually see it. It's unbelievable, the sight. The Kisei HaKavod, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam must be smiling. Unbelievable. I want to share with you two things tonight. The first, we have mitzvahs in the Parshiyos this past week. Reb Moshe Feinstein, the Gadol Hador, wrote a letter to Reb Moshe Shera. Reb Moshe Shera, for those of you that don't know, was the president of the Agudas Yisrael of America. And after the war, when Klal Yisrael was on a low, Rabbi Shera worked his kishkes off to rebuild Klal Yisrael. Today the Aguda, okay, is just keeping Klal Yisrael going. But after the war, to rebuild Klal Yisrael, to rebuild the yeshivas, the organizations that we have today, Rabbi Shera was putting his heart and soul into it. And Reb Moshe Feinstein writes him a letter. And in the letter he quotes the following. In this past week's parsha, we have the mitzvah of Kaddish Likol B'chor, the mitzvah of Pinyin HaBen, that every firstborn has Kedusha until this very day. And Reb Moshe Feinstein asked the following question in the letter. I wanted to photocopy the letter to give out tonight, but at 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning, there was no one up. I couldn't photocopy it. I couldn't bring it here tonight. This is the question he asks. What did the B'chorim do on the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim to deserve that they're sanctified to this day? What did the Bechor do? HaKadosh Baruch Hu Pasach Es Boteihem, he jumped over their houses. They were inside. A great Kiddush Hashem came out. What do you got to do with them? What did they do? Were they involved in the rescue? No, it was HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Were they involved in being born first? No, that was the parents of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And they were the child that came out. What did they do that deserves the Kedusha? Said Reb Moshe, they were just passive. But a Kiddush Hashem came about through them. Then all the Mitzrayim saw, wow, there's an HaKadosh Baruch Hu jumped over their houses. So you see, just a passive Kiddush Hashem. As we say in the Yeshivish Sprach, it was just Agavdik. They just happened to be the Bechor. But a Kiddush Hashem came about through them. They're sanctified. There's a tremendous schus that Ad HaYom HaZeh is Kiddusha. Says Reb Moshe to Reb Moshe Shera, somebody who's actively involved in creating a Kiddush Hashem, not just passive agavdik, but they're actively involved. Shtel Zechvar, the tremendous schus and the Kiddush Hashem that they create. Could you imagine the schus that they get? Rabbi say, everyone in this space medrash right now at 4:48, you're all actively involved in creating a Kiddush Hashem throughout the world, Rabbi Sai. Everybody's talking about Rabbi Senta's yeshiva. They're sitting and learning tonight at the Super Bowl. That's active Kiddush Hashem. Shtel Zechvar, the schusim that you have. Turn to the guy next to you and give him a bracha right now. Hello, anybody listening? Give him a bracha. You've actively created the Kiddush Hashem. God, I'm listening. Good, good, good.
I'm talking, not listening.
Okay, okay. Next. One stander down, next. Rabbi say, but let's remember, it's such an easy schooler. The Welt runs around for schoolers. Let's go to this Baba, that Baba, this Chacham, that Chacham, Yenna schooler, that schooler. Rabbi said, when you create Kiddush Hashem, actively, it's the biggest schus a person could possibly create. How we speak to people, act with people, negotiate with people. These are daily, daily things that come up. That's Kiddush Hashem. They see the yarmulke on our heads. Frum a Yidin, not yet religious Yidin. Goyim, that's Kiddush Hashem. Tonight was a Sherezach to do, but there are easier Kiddush Hashems to do. Let's remember that schus that we create. There's another mitzvah in this week's parsha, which is not well known, but the Yerushalmi brings it. The mitzvah of Shluach Avodim. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu Vayitzavim El Moshe to send Klal Yisrael, tell Paroi, send Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. There was a mitzvah at that time was given to Klal Yisrael of Shluach Avodim. When you come to Eretz Yisrael and you have an Eved for 6 years, you have to let him out for free. Rabbeisai, let's think about this for a moment. They're slaves themselves right now in Mitzrayim. Why give the mitzvah now? Nobody has a slave, they're slaves themselves. They have a master themselves. You give me the mitzvah now? It's like I get up here now and give a shiur on Hanukkah. You guys will look at me, Hanukkah, you know, come back next year in November, talk to us about Hanukkah. You want to hear about Purim now? Purim. Now you're talking. Why give a mitzvah on Hanukkah now? Makes sense? Hanukkah now. So why is the Rabbi Yisrael telling them a mitzvah that's not negated for years? Until they come to Eretz Yisrael. And they're there for 6 years. And you have an Eved. Then let them go free. Why tell me now? I got this mitzvah with a whip over my head now. Get the guy out of here. I want to get out of here myself. Zoktav Chaim Shmulevitz, the Mir Rosh Yeshiva, the following. There's a concept of called seizing the moment. Right now they're sensitive to what it means to have an Adon, a master. What it means to be an Eved. What it means to be free. I'm sensitive, I can hear letting someone to go out free. But in years from now, you're gonna tell me to let him go out free? That's a very hard thing to do. I got an Eved, guy's working for me, so I gotta let him go out with all types of perks. Very hard to hear. So the Rabbi Shalom gave the mitzvah when they're dafka sensitive to hearing it at this moment. So now they can seize this moment and lock it in for in the future when they need it. The Gemara in Sanhedrin tells Rabbi's bonus asuchayol, that's Yosef at Tzadik with the Maisu at Eishes Potifar. The Atol is al kulono. What's greater than Yosef at Tzadik? Who exceeds that? Zepalti ben Layish. Yeah, I see your faces. Palti ben Layish. Who's Palti ben Layish? I don't know no Layish, I don't know no Palti. So I'll tell you who Palti ben Layish is. You should learn Navi, by the way. You'll learn who Palti ben Layish is. The Gemara Sanhedrin says, Palti ben Layish. Shaul HaMelech had a daughter who was married to David HaMelech. Shaul HaMelech felt on a technicality that she's not married to David HaMelech. But David HaMelech la'alocha felt she's married, she's an Eish HaSish. She's married to David HaMelech. And Shaul HaMelech went and took his daughter and told Palti ben Layish, you're going to marry my daughter. But Palti ben Layish knew that Loch is like David HaMelech. She's married to David. She's an Eish HaSish. So the Gemara says, what did Palti ben Layish do? He took a sword and he stuck it into the ground the first night of the Chasana. And he said, whoever touches this Isha should be stabbed to death by the sword. And the Gemara says he was Zoycha Siyata Deshmaya. He was with her for many years, and not once was he over in Nisr. Rabbi Sai, why was he Zoycha to this? What's the significance of what he did? He took a sword and stuck it in the ground. Whoever touches this woman who's a nation's head should be stabbed to death, myself included. You know what the significance is? Palti ben Layish realized the following. Right now, at this moment, I know she's Usser. I realize it's clear to me the MS. But I know with time, after days, weeks, months, years, we come up. I'll come up with a heter, an excuse, a rationalization, a heter, a lumdis. I'm with her for so long, it's okay. So he stuck the sword and let it be a symbol that right now when I see the MS and it's clear to me, there's no actor, there's no excuse. I know the MS. And he was zoicha than I once was in Nichshol. Rabbi say in life, there are many things we go through that at times we know the MS. We see with clarity. Das yad, das nein. We see what passed for a ben Torah, what doesn't pass for a ben Torah. But with time what happens? Disconsideration, financial obligations. We begin to rationalize all types of hetayr and we come up with excuses. We have to create a symbol, a sword in the ground to realize that we knew the MS. Rabbi said, tonight you've created that symbol, that sword. But it's not a sword. It's an Ara Toira. That in your future of your lives, wherever you go, wherever you end up, and you have to look back, what does the Rabbeinu Shleilim want from me at this moment? What's the correct thing to do? You'll remember the night you spent in Rabbi Center's yeshiva, whatever floor this is. I sat and I learned the night of the Super Bowl, when I knew what was clear, what I should do. The world looks at us, we have that sword, we know what the emes is. That's what Palti Malayish did with that sword. Right now it's clear to me, she's an Eishes Ish, it's a Pasnish, it's Hustler. I know what the emes is. The Rabbi Shalom gave them the mitzvah Shluch HaVadim now, when they're sensitive to it. Rabbi said, you're all sensitive to what it means to be a Ben Torah, to be special, to be different, to be unique. Rabbi said, lock it in. Let this be your sword. Let this be the Ara Torah that you'll bank back in years from now, and you'll call your Rosh Hashiva, your Rabbeim. I remember the night we spent on Super Bowl night, when the whole world was out there partying, Super Bowl in front of the big screen, and we were in front of the real screen. I'll tell you a story, Rabbi Say. But don't think it's Stamel, it's Sonistika Maisa. I can only get away with this Maisa at 4:56 in the morning. But Rabbi Say, remember this Maisa. You're here in Eretz Yisrael for the year. You're gonna remember this night. It should be one of the highlights of your life. And remember, a guy Kaufman came in at 4:56. He was standing there with standards, Azoy and Azoy, and he told this Maisa. And you call your Rebbe, you tell him you remember Kaufman's Maisa. I can tell the Maisa. There was a young guy, Joey. He doesn't know the Maisa yet, he's telling me, yeah. Joey was a young guy, he finished high school. He didn't want a real job, college and all of that. So I could swap the Maisa, but I'm under the clock, so I'm saying as quickly as possible. You come to me, I'll tell you privately all the details that I'm leaving out. So Joey finished his high school, he wants a job, you know, you don't have to come dressed and that, and you know, one of these chill jobs. So he looks at the paper, and he sees on Wall Street, Lehman Brothers is looking for a guy to work in the mailroom. This is my kind of job. I could go in my jeans and dungarees. And he gets this job in Lehman Brothers, a big stock firm, on Wall Street in Manhattan. The first day, on his way to work, he passes by a restaurant near Wall Street. Very high-class restaurant. And he looks in the front window, the glass window, and he sees a bottle of wine, 1896. He's 1896, wow! That's over 100 years old! He's sitting there staring at the bottle. He knocks on the door. He comes to the door, we're not looking for any dishwashers, we're food, we're good. No. Just tell me, how much is the bottle of wine in the window? That's not really for sale. The whole restaurant is built around this bottle, 1896. Just tell me how much it is. He says, $10,000. I think you should stick to Coke or Pepsi. Thank you very much. He goes to work, and all day he's thinking about that bottle. Goes back, at the end of the work, passes by the window, again he sees the bottle, 1896. And every day as he goes to work, he passes by that restaurant, he sees that bottle in that window, 1896, and he begins to fantasize, one day that bottle is going to be mine. And he pictures in his mind opening the cork, smelling the cork, and he begins to picture pouring that wine into his glass. Why is everyone smiling? You know what I'm saying?
No.
Okay, you're smiling. It's 4:58 in the morning. Okay. And then watching, he pictures in his mind the color of the wine, smelling the wine, pouring the wine, touching his lips for the first time. And every day as he goes and he leaves work, he pictures that bottle of wine. He waves to it. He's talking to it. He's nuts over that bottle of wine. This becomes his dream, his goal in life, this bottle of wine. Every day. Year after year, and he's beginning to work himself up in this firm, out of the mailroom to this job, to that job. After 4 years, the boss calls him in, and he says, Joey, you've been a very, very loyal employee. You've never missed a day. You're always on time. You always come late. We're making you a full-time broker right now. And to show that we mean business, I'm giving you a bonus. And he gives him an envelope. He hands him the envelope. Joey's hands are shaking. He goes into the bathroom, into the stall, and he begins to open the envelope, and his hands are shaking. He begins to count. Benjamin Franklin in the hundreds, 100, 200, 300, 400, 500, 1,000, 1,000, 200, I'm under the clock, I have to race, 9,000, 9,000, 100, 200, and his hands are shaking, $10,000, I've got my bottle, I don't know what the guy in the stall next door was thinking, I've got my bottle, and he runs out, 5 o'clock, he clacks himself out, and he begins to run down, and he goes to the restaurant, and he comes to the window, and he looks into the glass window, and the bottle is... It's there, I don't want to do it. The bottle is there. And he looks at the bottle and he says, my love, tonight you're mine. He runs home, he races home, and he calls a tuxedo place. I want the best tuxedo, whatever it is, I need to rent it. Could you get it to my house in 2 hours? Yeah, we'll deliver, no problem. He calls A to Z limousines. I want the fanciest limousines, Rolls Royce, Hummer. Get it to me in 3 hours. He runs and gets his hair done. He waxes, he shaves, he gels. He gets a new pair of shoes, and he gets himself all dressed up, and the tuxedo arrives. He gets himself all dressed up, the new tuxedo, everything. He's standing there. Whoops, he's ready. Limousine pulls up. All the neighbors have their eyes out the window. Whoa, check this out, limousine. Whoa, whoa, check this out, unbelievable. Limousine pulls out, he goes out, and you know, in his tuxedo, ooh, somebody's got a date tonight, check it out. If only they knew he's dating a bottle of wine, okay? They get it. He arrives by the restaurant, he shows up at the restaurant, ooh, big tip tonight, check this out, look what's coming over there. He gets in, okay, they come down, he sits down. Sir, would you like the menu? Give him the menu, everything's in French, he doesn't understand one word it says over there. He turns to the maitre, he says, listen, just get me the best appetizer, the best soup, the best main, and the best dessert. That's all I need, the best everything. Okay, sir, you look, what's the problem? I want the wine list. Hands in the wine list, he begins going through the wine list. Well, what seems to be the problem? There's something missing on this bottle, on the list over here. No, these are all the wines we have. I want to see the expensive wines on the bottom of the list. $300, $400, this type of wine, that one. No, 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 something missing here. What's missing? I want the bottle in the window. Sir, the whole restaurant's built about that, around that bottle. That's, you know, 1896, you know, the whole restaurant's built around that. That's not, that's the bottle I would like. It's not really for sale. That's not what I was told. I was told $10,000. Calls down the manager. The manager says, you know, it's $10,000 and you got to pay cash up front. We don't take, you know, check or credit card. You drink the wine, then we're stuck with it. You got to pay up front. Yeah, I came prepared. Pulls out the envelope, hands it to the manager. Manager, ooh, counts it. Okay, it's going to take some time. We got to move stuff around the window until we get it to you. You know, okay, we'll get it to you eventually, okay? They bring out the appetizer. Hit. Maitre d' comes over. You know, while you drink your appetizer, they're still working on getting the bottle of wine. Would you like a glass of, you know, white wine with your appetizer? That sounds good. Pour him a glass of white wine. They bring out the soup. Would you like another glass of white wine? You know, a big cup over there, another glass of white wine. Where's my bottle of wine that I paid $10,000 for? It's coming, it's coming. They bring out the main, a glass of red wine, a glass of dry wine. He's drinking, he's getting a little high, he's beginning to fly a little bit. Okay, you know, maitre d' comes over and says, you know, what seems to be the celebration tonight? He's like, what are you doing here? Well, I've reached the goal of my life. Oh, what was the goal? You're not going to understand. Forget about it, you know? Oh, but you reached a goal, a celebration. We have a rule here in the restaurant. If you make a celebration, champagne's on the house. They bring out a bottle of champagne. His gup, oh, ooh, cool wine with bubbles in it. And he's drinking and he's drinking. By now he's blitz, smashed, trashed, whatever word you want to use. Well, where's my bottle of wine? It's coming, it's coming. And sure enough, dun 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 dun. They bring the bottle out and he said they bring it down in front of him. Like, would you open the bottle? You paid $10,000. You want us to open it? Okay. They pop the cork. Sir, would you like to smell the cork? Smell the cork. They don't know that he's been dreaming about this for years. Why would I do such a silly thing? Give me that cork. He takes the cork. He fires it across the room. Would you pour me already? Pour him the glass of wine. He takes that wine, but he's been waiting to dream it about for 4 years. Knocks it down all over his shirt onto the floor. Sir, you know, that's $5,000. You know, maybe you want to drink it slowly. I'll drink it the way I want to drink it. I paid $10,000. Boom, next cup, it's going all over the place, onto the tablecloth, onto the floor. Sir, you know, maybe you want to save something later. I'll drink it the way I want. He's sitting there, it's going all over the place, only a little bit slipping into his mouth. They take the bottle, say, sir, you know, maybe take the bottle, you'll have a souvenir for later. Yeah, give me that bottle. He takes the bottle, boom, smashes onto the ground, smattered all over the floor. They can't believe it. You don't make $10,000 a year. This guy's smashing the bottle of wine. Falls onto the table and falls asleep. 5 to 12. They shake him up. Sir, we're closing down the restaurant. You're going to have to leave the restaurant right now. Time to go. I'm not going anywhere. Where's my bottle of wine? What do you mean, your bottle of wine? We gave it to you. Oh, don't you think you're going to pull that on me? You gave me some cheap stuff. You gave me that white wine, a dry wine. Where's my $10,000 bottle? Well, just look. They already cleaned up the smash, but look at the tablecloth. No, 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 that's the cheap stuff. The manager comes down and he says, come on up to my office. I got something to show you. This restaurant's on the TV monitor. We have cameras. He comes upstairs, Rabbi Isai, and the most horrifying moments of his life. He sees as how he arrives at the restaurant in his tuxedo with his hair waxed up and smelling like everything. And he sees his making the order. And then he sees as he begins to drink the white wine, the dry wine, the red wine, the cheap garbage. And he sees as they bring him the wine. Give me that cork! Boom, as he throws it across the room. And boom, pour it for me! And he watches as he sits there spilling it all. Give me the bottle! Shh. And he begins to cry. The tears begin to drip from his eyes. Don't worry about it, you'll make it up. No, 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 I'll never feel that again. What a sad, beautiful story. But Rabbeisai, this is the story of every one of our lives. Rabbeisai, every one of us has an neshama ta'ira inside of us. Up in Shemayim, and waiting to come to this world to get the most beautiful, the most expensive, the most amazing bottle of wine called life. A connection with Borei Olam. And that neshama comes down to this world, and it begins with its tafkid to connect with the Rabbi Shlomo through Torah mitzvahs, and we go in the younger grades. Hashem is here, Hashem is there, Hashem is truly everywhere, and every mitzvah is torn with a simcha rabbah. But what happens? The maitre d', the satan, comes along. While you're waiting to get there, you know, how about some cheap stuff? A glass of white wine, dry wine, a movie, a geish music. A cell phone, a smartphone, an iPhone, some other stuff and schmutz, whatever else. Until we get drunk on the cheap stuff. And when it comes to the important things in life, Rabbi, I don't feel connected. Jesus, it doesn't go for me. I don't get the geschmack in it. Because you're drunk on the cheap stuff. Rabbi, say don't settle for the cheap stuff. You all experience tonight what life is really all about. Connecting with Borei Olam. Tyrus MS! Think about this, Rabbi Say. Don't get drunk on the cheap stuff. Stamanates of Purim, by the way. Don't get drunk on the cheap stuff. You don't gotta spend $10,000. But there's something in life, in the Shema, that every Shema wants. Don't get drunk. Don't let the Satan fool you. That when it comes to the important things in life, a connection with a tata and a mama, a brother and a sister, we don't feel it. Because we're so full of all the garbage that the Satan fooled us with. Realize what an neshama you have in us. And I'll close with the following. Rabbi said it was a yeshiva in Moscow. One day an elder yid walks in, an old Jew walks in, and sits down in his seat. And the boys come over to him. Can we bring you something? You need something? No, I'm good, I'm good. The yeshiva comes over. No, I'm good, I'm good, I'm good. Next day the same thing. Old man walks in, he sits down. What's his name? Boris. Boris sits there for a few hours and goes out every single day. Yeshiva began to grow. They needed the place. They needed the seat. There was a shortage of seats. Bracha went to Yeshiva, we need a seat. And this guy, Boris, sits there every day. He sits there, does nothing. He's just sitting there. Yeshiva goes over to him. Says, you know, you've been here for quite a few days already. Like, you know, we really need a place. If you want to come, we can arrange something. But, like, what's the deal? You got to tell me. And Boris opens up for the first time. Boris says to Yeshiva the following. One day I was here in Moscow, and I went to the local cafe for breakfast, a cup of coffee and a muffin. I'm sitting there enjoying my coffee and my muffin, and suddenly a barrage of people stampede into the place, and suddenly fists are flying, bullets are flying. I ducked under the table. There's a roar in this whole cafe. I'm sitting there under the table. I stuck my head out to see what was going on. Boom, I got kicked in the head. And before long, everyone in the restaurant, myself included, were under arrest. We were taken out of the restaurant in handcuffs by the KGB. It was a KGB raid on this cafe. I'm put into solitary confinement in a cell in the prison over the KGB prison. I'm taken out the next morning, and they tell me, "Sir, what were you doing in that restaurant?" I came to have a coffee and a muffin. "Sir, what were you doing in the restaurant?" And they begin to torture me. I was here for a coffee and a muffin, that's all. And every single day they take me out and they torture me. And I keep saying, "I was just there for a coffee and a muffin." Until finally I built up enough courage to say to the guy, like, "What do you think I was doing there? Why are you doing this to me?" And the man says, "In that restaurant, they were conspiring against the KGB. That's why we came in and we began shooting. You were there with them. I was just there for a coffee and a muffin. What if I was doing wrong?" And he looked me in the eye and he said, "If you're with them, you're part of them. If you're sitting there with them, you're with them, you're part of them." Eventually, I managed to get out, and I pass by this yeshiva every single day. And I know I'm a Jew, but my heritage, what Yiddishkeit means to me, nothing. But I hear those words vibrating in my head. If you're with them, you're part of them. You're sitting there with them, you're part of them. So I come here every single day. I don't know an aleph from a beis, I don't know anything. But I know if I'm sitting here, I'm with you, I'm part of you. That's why I'm here. Now you could decide what you want to do with me. Rabbi Say, there's a world out there tonight. The whole world! Many of them, millions, are sitting in front of a screen with a popcorn and a beer. If you're with them, you're part of them. If you're sitting here in a Teres Torah, it's called a Teres Torah. Rabbi Santa's Heilig Yeshiva. You're part of us. Bnei Torah, special, unique, and different. I came here to give chizik, but I am getting receiving chizik. Baruch Hashem, I could say I sat here, I said a kapitel Tehillim, I learned something with you. I'm part of you. Because I'm here with you, I'm part of you. Remember that in life. The way the guy acts, the way he dresses, the way his ways, how he dances at a party, how he goes, how he eats, how he conducts himself. If you're with them, you're part of them. But if you're in a yeshiva with Bnei Torah, Bnei Aliyah, the chosen, the special, unique, we're different. Mi kamcha Yisrael, Bnei Torah. If you're with us, you're part of us. Rabbeisai, let's remember the bottle of wine. Don't settle for the cheap stuff. Rabbeisai, let's remember Kiddush Hashem, the tremendous schuz. You have a koyach habracha. Active, you made tonight. Let's remember Palti Ben Layish, the sword we created. That Ara Torah. And in that schus, the brachas and the tefillas that we're going to go say now at the Kaisel Maravi should go to the Kisei HaKavod, and all our tefillas and makashos will be answered. Rabbi Sai, lock in this evening for the rest of your lives. Thank you very much.